This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We're going to talk about the Bundoran Farm Project. David Hamilton joins me live in studio. He's the project manager. David, you were with us last year. We've got some new things to talk about, but let's first off remind us What is this big project? And sure. When I describe it to people, I say, look, there's really nothing like this going on in the nation, and it's happening right here in Central Virginia. It's very exciting.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to get Dora the Explorer out of my head. I have a 2.5 and a 5-year-old.
You can get in line behind me.
That was particularly cruel. Bundoran Farm, for those who haven't followed it, it's a 2,300-acre piece of land that's about 3.5 square miles. So it's a pretty big chunk of land on the south side of Charlottesville that has been under the stewardship of the Scott family of Scott Stadium fame here in town. And it's where the Albemarle County Fair is being held right now. And I encourage you to come out and join the fair.
29 South to the Crossroads Store, turn right on Plank Road, and you're there.
You're there. You're in the middle of it. And what's interesting about it is a couple things are interesting, but one is that you keep driving and you're still there, and you're still there. It's a big piece of property. Well, this was a property that the Scott family was trying to decide what to do with, and they didn't want to see it on an auction block. And so they worked with my company and our partners to come up with a strategy for what we call preservation development. So allowing a very limited amount of really extraordinary residential development while maintaining, upwards of 90% of the land in working agricultural and forestal uses. So it's really a working farm with some houses on it.
It's amazing. Yeah. It really is amazing because it's usually not what you see. You usually see the old farmer sells off his land, and next thing you know, there's all these homes, and they're 3 feet from each other, and all these cul-de-sacs, and a whole bunch of new neighborhoods, and the local government is wringing their hands because they've got to figure out how to pay for new schools, and this is a totally different idea to leave the farm intact and build homes in the farm.
Yeah, it's a little new in this part of the country, but it's something that we've been doing with our company for, I think the first one was in 1974 up in Massachusetts, and we've done them in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Connecticut. And now, in the last 5 to 10 years, you're seeing other kinds of models, similar but not exactly the same, popping up in other places. There's a community down in called Serenby down in Atlanta, which is a similar concept, preserving and enhancing working farming, working agriculture as part of a residential development.
We're talking with David Hamilton. He's the project manager of the Bundoran Farm Project. And what's the website again?
Oh, it's simple, www.bundoranfarm.com.
There you go.
Who knows how to spell Bundoran?
Yeah.
Bundoran.
But just like it sounds, Bundoran.
Bundoran.
What's the history of the Scott family down there?
It's a pretty amazing history. They moved to this area, and I guess they, according to Mrs. Scott, who's now in her early to mid 90s, I hope she won't mind me saying, Miss Scott and her husband purchased the property. I'm told they closed the day before Pearl Harbor, so 1941 or so. And over the years, they expanded the original 500 or 600 acre parcel, purchasing farms as they came on the market across the street and down the road. And they grew that place with a pretty extraordinary stewardship over about 60 years before Fred and his mother, Fred Scott Jr., and his mother decided that they needed to figure out what would happen to this place in perpetuity. They have over the years run a cattle company. They're currently, just shy of 400 head of cows out there.
Was that traditionally what the farm was? Cattle
and apples? Very few row crops. There were some peaches at some point. The agricultural history of this area is littered with people who tried to do something other than cows and apples. So although there's a very sophisticated local food market now, on a large scale, most production is in those categories in forestry.
Yeah, and Central Virginia was, of course, at the turn of the 20th century, was known for Apple production, the Albemarle Pippin was
that's right.
famous worldwide as, you know, just like you'd go today and buy a you know, any other kind of Apple variety,
yeah.
a Braeburn or a Gala or something. The Albemarle Pippin from Albemarle County, Virginia was very, very famous.
Right. It certainly was. And they have been grown at Bendoran. Currently, the 200 and some acres of orchard at Bendoran grow a couple of other varieties, more commercially viable varieties these days. But, you know, our neighbors are Vintage Virginia apples, and they've just opened a cidery. I don't know if you heard about it. The governor came.
I did hear about that.
Thing.
Yeah. That's they down
are,
there too, huh?
They are producing cider with a tasting room where you can come in, and it's kind of like Napa Valley. I mean, it's like you come in, and this is a connoisseur kind of product. And it's wonderful news for Virginia agriculture anytime that these kind of value added products get put out there and people come out and see the farm and taste something good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good for everybody.
Absolutely. And of course, what's also good is a way to figure out how to preserve some of that while you can still have development.
Yeah.
Because a lot of communities across Virginia now are struggling with this. And so many families now that either you have the next generation doesn't want to be in farming or they just can't make a go of it. They've got to figure out what to do with their land. And, you know, it's wonderful that your company has a solution to that dilemma and can come in and say, look, keep the farm.
And
that's
and
what's
that's,
so beautiful about it.
And know? That's key. So this is a solution, not the solution. And there never will be the solution to this problem. This is a problem that's generated by a number of factors. Transfer of generations is one of them. You know, not every farmer's kid goes out and decides to major in farming.
Right, right, and, exactly.
Just as not every doctor's kid becomes a doctor. And farming gets tougher every year in many ways. And so we all have this kind of attachment to the countryside, in this, particularly in this part of the country where, you know, literally Jeffersonian agrarianism is it's almost part of our brand
yeah,
as a
yeah.
community.
Well, you live right here in this community where Jefferson's vision was that America would be a nation of farmers.
Right.
So if there is anywhere in America where the family farm should be preserved and we should bend over backwards to do that, it's in Albemarle County.
Now, the key to that, of course, is, you know, for anybody who's ever owned more than a couple of acres, is it's incredibly difficult to take care of large acreage. It's a lot of work. It's labor and equipment and big capital costs. Excuse me. And so not quite a lot of people who would be very happy to live in a rural environment and not spoil it also are not really capable or willing to, you know, be the active steward of land, to be the, you know, managing agricultural land. So that's what this system is trying to kind of solve, that problem.
Yeah.
How do you get a farm that can function as a big piece, people can enjoy it, they can take a bike ride through it, they can hike on the trails, but they don't have to manage a farm in and of themselves in order to live.
They can enjoy the view of the cattle on the rolling hills, but they don't have to worry about taking care of them or calling the vet. Or
and that's the great thing about cattle, is they sure are, they're a lot more fun to look at from 200 yards than from 3 feet when you're working them as our tenant.
But that's a good point, and that's a very good point. We're talking with David Hamilton of the Bendoran Farm Project. It's Bendoran Farm. What's the website again?
Yeah, BendoranFarm.com.
That's right, yeah. BendoranFarm.com. And that's, I want to underscore something there that's often forgotten, is how hard these family farms are to actually run and maintain, and how hard these people who still work the land in this community, how hard they really do work, because a lot of them actually, that's a second job.
That's right.
You know, quite, I mean, they work 9 to 5 and then they just try to keep the family farm alive at the same time.
I think of my friend Rob Harrison, who was down there helping run the Albemarle County Fair this time of year. Now he runs his own business and cattle, and now he's running the Albemarle County Fair down on our property. So he has a third one. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. David, tell us, now put this into perspective for us, given all the headlines that we've seen about the bad economy and the crashing real estate market. You know, here you have this nationally unique development project in our backyard, preserving a family farm, but yet developing it at the same time.
Yeah.
How does it fit in given the economic climate?
It's a great question. We certainly... we don't think of ourselves as a development sometimes as much as a project. We have a social mission. But fundamentally, this is a real estate development economically, and it has to work. We were very fortunate. We came out, although we came out with horrible timing in a sense, we came out and were able to sell in 2007, which was right when things were going badly in the national economy for the first really starting. we came out with a really strong cohort of sales in the first first few months of the year. Now we've gotten hit like everybody else has.
Sure, took
a little longer, but it's been very challenging. So what we're really focusing on now is, and you'll see this if you ever get to come down. We're trying to deliver on that vision and not to compromise it. If you really think about it, this is a piece of land that's been in this in the Scott family for 60 years, and the solution that they came to us for, and what we wanted to do, was something which secures it in perpetuity. So we're talking about many, many generations here. So although would we rather the economy be in better shape and people be buying more rural land? Of course, it would help us. At the same time, we know that reacting to a year or 18 months of challenging real estate market is not reacting to that by compromising your principles and changing the vision of the place is not where you go. So we're trying to reinforce the vision and stay very true to what we have tried to do. We've proceeded with We've got a couple homes built out there now, which are just extraordinary examples of good rural design. We're starting ahead with the Baldwin Center, which will be which is our nonprofit. Its facility, a new center for the farm, will be open this fall. So we're pulling full steam ahead.
Yeah, and you're taking this opportunity to remind people that you are in this community for the long term.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
This place, one might ask. Why does a subdivision need a nonprofit? And the reason is that we want something, a place which has, it's a place to gather, it's a place that'll be the center of the community, and we want someone to have an institutional memory who remembers the original vision of this place long after, an individual person like me is gone, who really keeps it true to the vision over long term.
We're talking with David Hamilton of the Bundoran Farm Project. It's online at bundoranfarm.org. So tell us more about this Baldwin Center. Is it a building? Is this a place?
It's both a place and an organization. So in terms of the place, when the Scotts purchased Bundoran Farm, the core of it, in the 40s, they built themselves a farm center. And then over time, they bought land to the south, west, and then east. The south and east and then further east. And over time, the center that they built to the farm got ever further from the center of gravity of agriculture there. So the farm really needed a new place that was central to the farm. Where do you come when you come to Bundoran Farm? And we have visitors and, sometimes the whole
You can't always pull up to Fred's house and
knock
on the door.
No, that's a private home now. It was the sale barn, but it's a private home now. And Fred stays on there. We're very excited to have him as a neighbor. But you need a place where you come. About a year ago, the entire planning board of another county in Albemarle, in Virginia, came down to sort of see what was going on. And we have to have a place to show people what we do and tell them the story of this place. We also, the community in this case, in the case of Bundoran, the community actually has to make a fair number of decisions about how to whom to lease the land, under what terms, what kind of new kind of agriculture will be allowed. They make design decisions after the developers are gone about new home construction and what it should look like with a lot of guidance.
The landowners do that?
Well, for the development period, it's the design committee, which is me and my partner, Joe Barnes.
We'll
make those decisions, and we're both architects. But at some point in every community, and this is straight out of state law, these responsibilities for governance turn over to the folks who live there. And that's great. And that's part of the reason we did what we called our founding steward program and tried to get in, good six or seven early adopters who really believed in the vision, because those will be the leaders of this community
So the people who buy into this project,
yes,
are going to be the ones ultimately one day who run the farm.
They will have a voice.
Yeah. As a group. Yeah.
Well, with professional help. It's actually, if you look in our documents, the community charter, which sets up the governance of this place, they are required to have what's called a farm management committee, which is consisting of someone with expertise in local agriculture, someone with expertise in local environmental or forestry issues, and actually the head of our nonprofit foundation, along with some homeowners, will make these decisions.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Where
did this idea come from?
Go
back in history, and this is, I find this so fascinating. This is such a unique approach to development, that you actually invite people into an existing farm and say, okay, we're going to develop this farm, but we're going to keep the farm. Yeah. And you're going to live around and in the farm, and you're going to be part of that this farming community that was established by this family so long ago.
Well, it's one of those ideas that's disarmingly simple. And when you hear it for the first time, as I did, you know, whatever, too many years ago, you think, yeah, why do they get rid of the farm every time they buy a farm and turn it into a development? What is that about? Why don't we try keeping it? And then you sort of think about it, and you think about all of the potential conflicts between residential uses and agricultural uses, anything from noise and smells and sprays and dogs and animals. And, you know, there's a – and one of the most important ones being that when you divide land – you take a 200-acre piece of land and you divide it three ways, you've just made that land about half as productive, because that scale is really necessary. And that's why the divisions at Bendoran are not apparent. Agriculture runs across everybody's land in an easement form, so we have contiguous acreage. But when you really get down to it, there are a lot of problems to be solved, and that's why. But that very simple question that you ask is what was asked by Bob Baldwin, who's no longer with us, but he founded my company. And he's the person after whom we've named this center in the nonprofit at Bendoran Farm. Bob was a successful businessman up in Boston. Strangely enough, returning to an earlier topic, he in Boston, the equivalent of the Pippin was the Baldwin apple, which was his family's invention. You went to a market in Boston in 1935, 1940, you would have bought a Baldwin apple.
Oh, that's great.
Nobody had ever heard of these Pippins. But the red delicious of its day.
Yeah.
So Bob was he was a business guy. He got on the planning commission in a small town in Massachusetts, and he just got sick of it. He couldn't believe what was happening to rural land in his area. And the process, as he describes it, as he always described it for me, was the developer comes in with something that's just awful, knowing it's going to get knocked down. The environmental community comes in and screams at him, and the planning commission knocks it down a little bit and approves it because they can't get him to do any better. The thing that's always been missing from this is, well, you know, agriculture is tremendously impacted by this, so why isn't the farmer at the table? And the answer is that the farmer made a perfectly rational economic decision to take this check and send his kids to college, and not fight it anymore, not be in the dairy business in New England, struggling on a 100-acre dairy farm, and that's really sad, and that's part of the reason that along with some other regulatory issues and financial issues, that's part of the reason that the farm is never part of a modern subdivision since 1950, is that the farmer just doesn't have a voice in the whole process. He's out of there.
Yeah.
So this, Bob Baldwin started tinkering. I've often said that, you know, I think one of the great genius of America is tinkerers. You know, we don't have Tesla, who discovers the very idea of electricity. We have Edison, who tinkers with it and tinkers with it and tinkers with it and makes it work better.
Right, right.
And so that's really what Bob did, is he came up with a new model of residential development that took as a stakeholder farming, right? Instead of tossing the farm on day one, we say, well, what if farming has to stay into this thing? What would it look like?
Yeah.
And
if you keep the farmer at the table?
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he sold his land, he or she,
right,
you keep him at the table as participants in this discussion about the future of their farm.
Right. And the key is, I think a key distinction is that when you look at a piece of land that's near a metropolitan area, meaning within a couple of hours, and its value to real estate developers might be $10 million, and its value to farming might be $300,000. We have to think about other ways that farming can produce value for society. One of the ways is that we all love having farms all around us. We love being in Charlottesville, being able to be literally 2 minutes down the road, and all of a sudden you're in farmland. That's a treasured asset of this community.
That's why we love to drive around.
We put pictures on boxes of products to sell. You know, from Albemarle County.
Yeah.
So they're really good at creating value for people who live around them, and they're really good at taking care of our land, which needs to be done for the long term. They're also good at producing food at an affordable cost and locally. And so those are the three areas that are really the opportunities that we're trying to pursue at Bendoran. are trying to get more local food production and keeping that acreage productive and making it more productive, and trying to capitalize on the fact that a farmer, though he might not be able to make $10 million from that piece of land, he can make it look like $1 million.
David Hamilton is the project manager at the Bundoran Farm Project. You can learn more online about this amazing success story right here in our neighborhood at bundoranfarm.org. David, thanks for being here.
Thanks a lot, Coy. I appreciate you having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.